And now to our email challenge. We've asked you to send us suggestions as to what history might call the recent conflict in Iraq. This on the assumption that the phrase Operation Iraqi Freedom will soon be relegated to military textbooks. It's not too late, and if you'd like to contribute an idea, the email address is totn@npr.org. Yana McBride suggested War of Mass Distraction. Charlie and Debbie Lee sent Operation 55 Pickup, a reference to the game played with a deck of cards, 52-card pickup, only this one with the 55 cards of the Iraqi Most Wanted list. And Ron Robertson of Wichita, Kansas says, the press always names wars the catchiest, briefest term catches on. I would call it the American conquest of Iraq for now. If all goes well, as we hope, it may in time be called the liberation of Iraq. Well, to give us some guidance on war naming, we've asked Kathleen Miller to join us. She wrote an article that's published in the current issue of the newsletter Verbatim. It's called War is Hell, Naming Them Ain't Too Easy Either. It's good of you to be with us on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Who gets to decide who names wars?
In the seven major wars that the United States has been involved in, it depends on three different categories.
Okay.
Who won.
Yeah.
What the government wants to call it, and what the government doesn't want to call it.
I see. Well, so far, at least, the United States has been successful in most of its wars, mm-hmm. so the U.S. gets to name them.
More than likely.
Okay. Well, I mean, for example, if you go back to the American Revolution, surely had George Washington and his sturdy band of patriots failed, we would not have called it the American Revolution.
No, we would not have called it a revolution. It probably would have been called the American Insurrection, or maybe the Rebellion Against the King. Rebellion seems to have more of a negative connotation to it than revolution.
And one problem in naming wars is, I mean, again, everybody gets to pick their own names. Some wars can be confusing, confusing smaller parts of larger wars. And, for example, it took me a good long time to figure out that what we call the French and Indian War was really just a sideshow to what the rest of the world calls the Seven Years' War.
Exactly.
And the War of 1812, I guess, the same way.
Yes. The War of 1812 seems to Europe to be just an extension of the Napoleonic Wars.
Just a little bit part of it.
And, exactly.
You know, not really very important after all.
Not really.
That burning of Washington, well, we'll just have to forget that
right.
part. Here's another suggestion we got from Kevin Kirby. How about the war against Saddam Hussein to end all wars against Saddam Hussein? We're taking your suggestions on what to name the recent conflict in Iraq. totn@npr.org. Our guest is Kathleen Miller, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And historians are always not necessarily using the names that the conflicts were, you know, how the conflicts were described when they were being fought.
Right. Contemporarily, for example, during the Civil War, what our high school textbooks called the Civil War, while it was going on, there were no less than 46 names being bandied about. If you read the contemporary northern newspapers, mm-hmm. it's simply called The Rebellion. Down south, it's more likely the War of Northern Aggression. After it was over, it could be called the War Between the States. And my personal favorite during the war itself was the Late Unpleasantness. You can almost picture Scarlett O'Hara fanning herself saying such a thing.
Well, as you point out in your article, there are also still plenty of places you can go to, particularly in the South, where it's simply referred to as the war.
Exactly.
And I grew up in a generation where the phrase the war clearly meant World War II.
Clearly, yeah. Right.
There have been a few since then, though. The difficult one that a lot of people had with was, of course, what we now refer to as the First World War, which only cynics called the First World War in 1914.
At the time, right. As early as 1918, they were calling it the First World War. But it wasn't actually until the Second World War was over that they decided to call it the First World War. It was officially, there was a letter from Secretary of War Baker to Wilson saying, I suggest that we call this the World War, which Truman got a hold of in 45 and decided to name their war the Second World War.
But clearly it was being called the Second World War as, you know, a lot sooner than that. I mean, just you didn't wait for the president to name it.
No, there was an article in the Manchester Guardian in 1919 that was talking about a World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until about 10 days after it started, on September 11th, 1939, that Time magazine here went ahead and called it the Second World War, or World War II, has started.
Here's a suggestion we got from Edie Lesher. The War of George II.
Okay.
Are wars often named after people? I mean, you think of the War of Jenkins' Ear, but that was a peculiar circumstance.
Right. There aren't any officially here in the United States. Mm-hmm. During the Civil War, of course, there were cynics who called it Mr. Lincoln's War. And during the War of 1812, there were many people, mostly New Englanders, who called it Mr. Madison's War because they were against the politics of the president at the time.
Mm-hmm. There are politics involved in deciding the names of wars, indeed.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give us a for instance.
Well, the last two, the Korean War and the Vietnam War.
The last two that you're counting, anyway.
The last two that I'm counting, yes. Neither of which was technically a war. The politics, there never being an official declaration of war. The government doesn't really want to call it a war. It's a conflict.
Hmm. So the Korean War, which we refer to in the Korean War Memorial, was really the Korean conflict because
right.
this was a UN police action formally, not a war declared by Congress.
Exactly.
And the Vietnam War, which when we remember it, which a lot of people would prefer not to, was never formally a war.
No, it was never formally a war. The July decisions of 1965 basically gave Johnson a blank check to go in and do what he wanted, but there was no declaration by Congress.
Now, the interventions, if we could call them that, of recent years, I mean, we call it Grenada, don't much glorify it past that, or Panama, there is a problem with the area in which we have fought the last two big wars, and that is the Persian Gulf area.
Mm-hmm.
What used to be called the Gulf War was, we now refer to, of course, as the Iran-Iraq War.
Right.
And the first time the United States was involved, Desert Storm has such a powerful, you know, that's pretty good.
Right. It's so, very powerful.
Do you think we're going to get Desert Storm 2?
The one that I'm seeing most often is Gulf War 2.
Gulf War 2.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple of suggestions here. Jody Connor in Neillsville, Wisconsin suggests since Gulf War 1 and Gulf War 2 should really be seen as a single drawn-out conflict, I propose this war be known as the 12 Years War, unless, of course, future hindsight shows it to be an even more drawn-out affair, in which case we can insert 13 years, 15 years, 20 years, etc., whichever seems appropriate at that time. I wonder, they don't name something the 7 Years War until after it's over, do they?
I doubt they were calling it the Hundred Years War while it was still going on. Yeah.
I suspect not. And here's one from John in San Francisco, Arachnophobia.
Oh, that's clever.
That's not bad.
No.
Kathleen Miller, thanks very much for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Kathleen Miller wrote a piece in the newsletter Verbatim called War is Hell, but naming them ain't too easy either. She's research assistant for William Safire's On Language column in the New York Times Magazine. She was here with us in Studio 3A. I'm Neil Conan in Washington for NPR News.